This is the Epilogue Audio Experience.
A quick disclaimer for our podcast, The SOS Show. Points discussed in this podcast should not be relied upon as conclusive medical advice in any case. The host shall not be a substitute for proper medical professional. You must seek professional help in case of any requirement. Thank you.
There's a chapter in Brené Brown's Daring Greatly which talks about the scarcity culture. It talks about how we think we are never enough. And it talks about, are we surrounded by narcissists and have we turned into a culture of self-absorbed, grandiose people who are only interested in power, success, beauty and being special. Hi guys, welcome to the SOS Show with me, Sachita, and I'm digging into the psychology of the influencer culture. Well, to be frank, I'm terrified of the word influencer, which is why I have been talking to a few influencers to understand more of what they think of being an influencer. I rarely, and only when needed, go on social media, Instagram, Facebook, because these best celebs and influencers living their bestest lives, you know, can make one feel shaky, and I'm not sure how many of you out there feel the same. And then comes the news of a celeb society and influencer society, and I wonder, why did people who have or are projecting their best lives with possible fame and money end it all? What is the psychology behind this influencer culture? Our guest for today is Roshni, the lead clinical psychologist at the Department of Mental Health and Behavioral Sciences at Fortis.
Hi Roshni, welcome to our podcast, The SOS Show, and thank you for being here and talking about this very important and interesting topic, which I think is very interesting for me, at least, and hopefully for our audience as well, which is the rush for fame, money, the celebs and the influencer culture. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And yes, a very, very pertinent topic in today's time.
Roshni, tell me this. I'm totally petrified of the word influencer and the celebs and the influencer culture. And when somebody tells me, oh, you know, so-and-so is an influencer. So this whole psychology behind the influencer culture that we have created around, and everyone is talking about that. What do you think that psychology stands for in today's times?
So see, when we talk about the psychological underpinnings for any culture, usually we would say they're ingrained in the values and the belief systems of a particular society. Today, you have a society where there's fast-paced competition. There's, like you said, social media, there's influencers. It's taken over not at least a huge, huge part of our lives, if not all of it.
Yeah.
And something that defines this this entire culture now is a sense of instant gratification. You know, you click and you wait, has something got uploaded or not? If I click, we don't even have the patience to wait for something to buffer.
Yeah.
And that's what the online world has started teaching us. It's become a norm. And even in social media, we are seeking validation by how many likes did I get? You know, how many followers do I have?
Yeah.
How many people reposted or shared what I put up on a social media platform?
Yeah.
This is again leading to social comparisons.
Yeah.
I'm constantly comparing myself to others, and not just others, but that portion of life that other person has chosen to share with us. And we only have a glimpse of that life, and that's what we're comparing ourselves to. And that is how, when you say influencers, that is the influence, that we are getting influenced by choosing to see what another person is choosing to share with us. So that's how I would try and put it in a crux. This is what has happened to our culture of influencers, of fame, of just quick instant gratification and validation.
Roshni, when you say influencers, now I'm petrified to even go on Instagram, you know, and even check anything, because I'm like, oh my God, I do not want this information, or even go on Facebook, because information just gets bombarded at you constantly. So when we say I'm getting influenced by so-and-so person, so of course, you know, people who are more sorted, who understand the whole, the whole creation of this culture, and who it is benefiting, who it is not benefiting. I'm sure it has its pros and its cons, you know. I'm sure there are pros as well. But, you know, self-made influencers. which is people from small towns getting their tiny bit of fame or a fame of a longer duration, people selling beauty products, women coming out there, you know, selling the food that in a certain way we have suddenly been exposed and we've got decentralized because the power suddenly we're like, okay, we do not need to focus on a certain set of people to get influence, which is big stars or big people or personalities that we always used to get influence. Now we have more people that we can, or the culture can cater to or look up to. But this limited, short, you know, time span of trying to put something out there, which, you, as you mentioned, of course, it creates a culture of comparison. But what does it actually do, this comparison culture? This culture that I'm better than you, doing to a person's mental health and well-being? What is it exactly doing when you're doing, when you're in and out of those Instagram reels every day?
So I'll answer your question in two parts. Mm. So one, you say it's an influencer or you say a celebrity. Mm. Whoever it is a person with 5 followers or 50 followers, or you talk about their bank balance, you talk about their achievements. The word itself, so it becomes a celebrity, it's because we are celebrating that individual. So a person becomes an influencer because we are getting influenced. Mm. So that is one aspect. The individuals are the same. They are choosing a career, they're choosing a path, they are working towards their goal. Mm. It is us and our perspective that decides the kind of influence that we get from that individual. So that is one aspect of it. And if we further talk about, like you said, what is happening with this comparison, this constant exposure to what other people are posting, their narratives of their success, their images that they're putting, this creates unrealistic expectations in our minds.
Of our own selves.
Of our own selves. And that's where a sense of dissatisfaction can come so easily, by just scrolling and you come across something or you hear somebody else talking about something. It could be, like you said, body image. It could be material possessions of a house or an address or a car that they bought or a phone product that they, anything. Yeah. It could be the destination for the next vacation that you see somebody posting.
Yes.
And it's only, you know, it's only about clicking the best picture and the best lighting and the best background. Where is that sense of authenticity, which is almost lost? Mm-hmm. That sense of self is, in a way, I'd say eroded, where you feel disconnected from your own sense of who you are, your own real identity.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for us to re-look at what is the sense of purpose driving us. What is the meaning that we want to derive from our life? So, I mean, go for a vacation, but go for it for yourself, for your family, for your loved ones, for the experience. I would say leave your phones and cameras behind. You're not going there to preserve those memories on a phone. That phone could be lost. You could lose that storage in today's world. Go there for those memories that you're building for yourself and look at that sunset instead of trying to capture the best lighting and exposure.
Like you said, the sense of self is getting eroded in being part of this culture. Just, I'm going to be asking you this question after what I'm going to ask you right now, in terms of how it's creating, how it's sort of impacting the future and what kind of future we are heading. But before that, just, we are saying that, okay, these influencers and also the celebs, very lately, these are the people who are projecting a very fulfilled life, a life that is, you know, above, we are above the food chain than you. And we have the fame, we have the money, or even if we don't have, we are going to put that part of our lives. As I was doing an R&D, Roshni, on celebs as well, a lot of popular celebs, and very recently, a lot of these influencers have chosen the path of dying by suicide. I wouldn't want to take many names or any name at all, but there has been a very popular celeb in China, in India, in US. We get those news every day. And also when it comes to influencers, you know, I was just reading yesterday that you know, these couple influencers in Dehradun chose to die by suicide. So, of course, the future, we see it here in terms of what's happening every day and the shaping of this future. But tell me, why there must be some kind of hollowness despite all the fame and the money and the jazz that you are portraying or you have. Why do you choose a path where you want to end your life?
So, again, like I said, they are celebrities, they are influencers because of our perspective, and we celebrate and it's about the way we talk about them. So even when you talk about dying by suicide, suicidal ideation, the factors, the risk factors associated are eventually all the same. We're all individuals. We would all be vulnerable to experiencing same stresses, and it's almost impossible in today's world to avoid and escape stresses. It's inevitable. But it's the nature of those stresses that could be different for each person. So it could be economic stresses, financial stresses. The perception of that stress would be obviously different for different economic strata, for different professions, for different individuals and different sections of the population. But having said that, the most what research shows, what is the most common factor associated with risk for suicide is a mental illness called depression, like any other illness. And if this is something that has been associated, we need to start talking about it. We need to understand mental health is what needs to be prioritized over here. We need to encourage people to know what are those signs and symptoms. We need to know that early identification of depressive signs and symptoms is possible. Interventions are important because it's not about the reasons for dying by suicide. It's about the fact that suicide can be prevented. It doesn't matter who the person is. A life can be saved. And that is what becomes our responsibility. So I think that's what my focus would be. The reasons could be different for each person, but stressors, illnesses, mental health is same for all of us.
So what happens to these people or the audiences who are looking up to these celebs, looking up to these influencers to get some kind of, you know, dope into their monotony or their monotonous or their lives that they aspire? What's happening to the psychology and the well-being of, you know, the people watching them?
So again, when I'm being constantly bombarded by pictures, images, their lives, those glimpses, I am constantly comparing. That is what is shaping my sense of self, like I said. So it could lead to me feeling inadequate. It could lead to sometimes me feeling jealous or envious. It could make me want to have, in a positive way also, sometimes it could inspire me to, you know, pursue success and get redefining my ambition sometimes. But what ends up happening is, because it's based on something that is in a virtual world, it is not a real role model that I'm looking up to. So often what happens is I could be ending up prioritizing some short-term gain over actual long-term fulfillment. Because again, like I said, it's instant gratification, instant validation. People talk these days about FOMO, you know, the fear of missing out. So you're missing out on opportunities for fame, for money, for influence. Again, I'm constantly seeking attention from others around me, from my peers, from my seniors. And this fear can actually get amplified by when the audience is getting exposed to this on the social media platforms, because it's a curated a persona that's being presented on social media. There's an entire team going behind it to decide what to show, when to show. So this is how that fear can actually get amplified, and it makes it could lead me to believe that this is, you know, everyone else is leading a more exciting or a more successful life because that's what is being curated and presented on social media.
Yeah.
And again, I would actually believe that, and that obviously would increase chances of me experiencing distress and dissatisfaction.
Yeah. And then when they see their role models going and dying by suicide, what is the kind of impact that will happen on somebody aspiring to be that, and then seeing, oh, you know, this person had it all, you know, the fame, the money that I'm looking for, and this person goes, so what is my psychology as a fan or somebody who's following these celebs and influencers? What is that impact on my mental health when I see them taking the route of, you know, ending their life?
So when we see something, it impacts all of us, right? Whether I was following the person or not. When I, and again, that's why you have guidelines in place. So WHO actually has guidelines of, you know, how such news reports have to be printed, have to be advertised, not to be sensationalized, being very, very careful of ensuring sensitivity of the language and the content that we put out there. And the reason is the impact is for all of us. And I mean, it's a fact there are 1 in 8 people in the world who are living with a mental disorder. It's still a fact that globally there's, I think, 70 to 80% of individuals who actually need that mental health support and who don't reach out. Why? Because there's a stigma. And then you see such a news, you see such an incident, the impact could be across various aspects of my own sense of self, where I could feel a sense of relating to that individual's experiences. I could feel like if they could experience something like this, what is it going to mean for me? So it could be different for each of us. But it is about our self-esteem. It is about what makes us derive a sense of meaning and purpose in our life. You know, you can turn to fame, money, influence as a means of filling these emotional voids. But what's important is, what is my sense of identity, my sense of belongingness? What is it that I want to root and anchor my sense of achievement with? It doesn't matter what another person chooses to define their sense of achievement with. It depends on what I believe in, what I relate to, what I understand. And that's why the responsibility is not on each individual. The responsibility is on us as a society, how we talk about these incidents.
So just trying to understand the psychology behind somebody who has the fame, the money, and everything that the world is chasing for, and the world is aspiring, and that certain someone decides to take the route of ending his or her life. And there are many such cases out there. If we do the Google, if we Google, there are many cases out there like this. What is that these individuals who we say that are on the topmost rung of the food chain take the route of ending it all despite having it all? What is the psychology of that?
So it's again boils down to the culture where fame, wealth, success has been glorified, right? Where these unrealistic standards of achievements, even unrealistic standards of even happiness, those markers have almost been internalized by them, by us, by the society at large. My self-worth could actually be equated by these external markers of success that other people are able to perceive. So which means anybody who experiences any kind of setback or any kind of failure, it actually makes me struggle with my own sense of self-worth, identity, where it pushes me to the level of distress that I experience, and maybe then that's what increases my vulnerability to take such a step. But again, the point is not the reasons that drive the person towards the step. If we are able to identify at an earlier stage, what were those signs? What was the support system? So that's where the role of psychological first aid comes in. So a first aid kit we all have in every car and in every home. Psychological first aid, which we as a society can help, it's basically a principle of look, listen, link. What I use to say, the three L's, right? Look for people when you see that the person is possibly experiencing distress, is possibly not in the best state of mind. Look out for those signs. Go there, listen to them. That's all it takes. Not give them an extra like on their post. Actually either pick up the phone and have a conversation, or if possible, actually go meet the person, talk. Listen, don't need to give advice, don't need to share your stories. Just be there for that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then link. And link doesn't mean, oh, this person has some psychological distress, let's send them out to a psychiatrist for treatment or for medication.
Mm-hmm.
No, link could be offering support. Giving social support, giving emotional support, giving financial support.
Mm.
It could be as simple as a senior trying to give support to a junior at work.
Mm.
That is also support. So that is the sensitivity, that is the importance of psychological first aid. If you're trying to understand the psychology behind such incidents and such choices, it doesn't matter who the person is. It is the fame, wealth, success that is getting glorified. It's getting to our heads. We need to take a step back and understand what we can do before that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need to be vigilant about things around us, perhaps people around us. But when it comes to these celebs, Roshni, there must be some kind of a deep hole inside them, a kind of a vacuum, which the money and the fame has not been able to fulfill. How does somebody who has it all choose not to take the path of, you know, reaching out for help? What could be that point where, you know, they chose that this is not worth going through? What could be that psychology that could help or drive somebody who has more fame and more money than, you know, perhaps a lot of other people, protect themselves?
So I believe, again, you could have all the fame and all the money. The point is, we're still same individuals.
Mm.
We have, I mean, it's in humanity,
yeah,
we have those innate desires for recognition, for validation, for social connection. And these are, and now if you see the consequence of, you know, this is increasingly interconnected, competitive, such a fast-paced world that we live.
Yeah.
It is going to add to the chances of all of us experiencing distress. It doesn't have to be only the person who has it all. I don't think anyone has it all, first of all.
Mm.
But someone who has more or someone who has less, it doesn't matter. So it could be a teenager who is getting influenced by what they see on social media. It could be an adult who's feeling the pressure of, you know, conforming to their peers or their colleagues at work. It could be a celebrity who's comparing themselves to their colleagues, who's comparing themselves to their seniors, to their generations before them.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter having less or more. The need to conform has been there for years and for decades in society.
Yeah.
It's only today it has become amplified. So if we are talking about certain incidents, we're talking about those individuals because it's coming up in the news. There would be a lot of such incidents that we may not even be aware of because we are not talking about them.
So now coming to the question which I wanted to ask earlier was that, so how is this whole chase of fame, the money, everything, your entire life is surrounded around, you know, your Instagram reels and how you're projecting yourself. How is this defining the culture that we're moving, say, 5 years from now or 10 years from now or 15 years from now? What do you see? Where is this heading?
So where it's heading, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm being able to predict that. How it is shaping up immediate future is, again, we are all tending to focus more on such short-term gains that you're asking me this question of 5 years later and I'm having to sit and scratch my brains because that's what life is all about now, prioritizing today, tomorrow, day after.
Yeah.
You know, if you ask schedules and calendars, we sometimes don't know what our next day or week looks like.
Yeah.
That's how much we're prioritizing our short-term gains.
Yeah.
So the point is for us to sometimes just take a step back and try and introspect and see where is the real self and where is this curated sense of self and identity and ambitions and goals. Where is the line getting blurred somewhere? I think that's something we need to look at. Further we can predict.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Roshni, in terms of how to define, how do we, as you said, you need to pause, you need to step back, you need to look at from in a more objective perspective rather than a subjective perspective. So getting that objective perspective, what are a few things that we as people, we as individuals that are caught up in this kind of culture should do on a daily basis or a weekly or a monthly basis? How do we design it so that the sanity doesn't go haywire?
So I think the main focus that we need to have is having a sense of balance in life.
Mm.
So not saying anything is a boon or a bane, but to just each of us comes from a different perspective, our upbringing. We need to remember whatever approach we choose in life, the choice is ours.
Mm.
It should be reflecting our own set of values, our belief systems. That's what should be playing the most significant role versus what we hear around us or what we see around us.
Mm.
And positivity in our sense of self, positivity in what we spread around us, the way we plan our day, the way we plan or sometimes choose not to plan our day and take a break, that's also fine. So I can't tell you what should be your goal or how you should lead a day in your life. But I can say that, yes, at least aim to strike a balance between your goals, your desires, based on realistically what your abilities are, what your resources are, what your needs are. We, each one of us is unique. We have our own strengths and weaknesses. Let's not forget those strengths. Yes, also be aware of our weaknesses and build our own individual journey towards productivity, towards a sense of connectedness. And when I say connectedness, not virtual connections, that's something I keep saying.
Mm.
It's been so many years now since the pandemic, a couple of years. And even then, the pandemic taught us what social connections and the value that we need to attach to them. So I think let's not forget that and aim at a balanced positivity in our life and our mental health.
In terms of the balanced positivity, how should we as people daily, you know, do you think that we should define our own selves, know ourselves better, and, you know, define that fulcrum, that center that we need to absolutely maintain so that, you know, we can, you know, not look left and right, rather focus on our own selves and our own sculpting and our own growth rather than constantly being out there wanting to be such a person or looking up to such a celeb? How can we, you know, solidify that kind of fulcrum within ourselves?
So again, I think it comes back to looking inwards, but to look inwards, to at least take out time to look inwards, which means if there's so much of bombardment of information happening around us, create that space to have some, even a mind space, if not actual physical space, to be able to disconnect. So a digital detox is what I said, at least if not every day, at least once a week. Take out at least 2 hours in a week where you don't have a screen in front of you. When I say no screen, not even these audio devices where you're listening. If you want to have a playlist, have it decided in advance. Or actually take out times like family meals together where no one has a screen, where no one is allowed to take a phone call no matter what the emergency could be. So set such rules together and take out that effort to be able to introspect on my own values, on my own belief systems, to again, to decide what is that fulcrum that I want to center my life on, or my day on, or my week on, or the next year on. Again, it could keep changing. I mean, that is my right and prerogative. The choice, like I said, is always ours. But we need to be in control and not let a social world around us overwhelm and control our choices.
Yeah, sure. So you need to be very much sorted within your own selves to be able to not get too much boggled by what's happening outside. But do you think it's fair? Well, we are no one to judge how the world functions or which direction it wants to go, you know, or which direction an individual wants to go. But do you think that, you know, people who sort of have it all, you know, should actually flaunt so much, putting their wealth in a world that's sort of, you know, has different people from different economic strata watching it and getting influenced by it? Do you think that, you know, well, I should ask this question as I want to ask this question, but yeah, what do you think?
So I'll again say that it's the celebs and influencers, we are the ones, we're glorifying celebrities.
We are making them, yeah.
But when you, if you say flaunting it, in a way, aren't all of us flaunting it? Like almost all of us would have social media accounts or even not on social media. So instead, I think let's start with each one of us. Are we so preoccupied with what will be our next post, what will be our next video? And if that's not enough, then, you know, there's a desire to know what's going on in the other person's life, be it a celebrity or be it a friend or be it a long lost ex or a colleague or anyone. This is what is consuming us. This is what is keeping us glued. So the only thing I say is, remember, when you say social media and mental health, the impact is here. It's not a hypothesis anymore. It's established. And I think rather than deciding what another person should or shouldn't do, or what even I should do or shouldn't do, it's time to focus on what is the solution. So if you're talking about suicides, suicides are preventable. If you're talking about the impact of social media, again, the responsibility is ours, be it parents, be it teachers, be it stakeholders, be it all of us as members of the society. So I mean, I always say, you know, use social media to advocate for something, advocate for mental health, since I'm a mental health professional. You know, give support by actually being a support system for each other, not just following the other person on their account and seeing the number of followers each one of us has. Actually be there for each other. That's what we should do, using social media in a positive way, mindfully. Yes, it has its positives and negatives. We need to strike, again, that balance, I think.
Mindfully using social media is something that we need to do and not just rush around it and get influenced. And also, do people need to get so badly influenced by celebs, or, you know, they need to protect themselves and know that the celebs are also humans, or celebs or influencers, as they have projected themselves, and they do not need, they need to protect themselves from getting, you know, mindlessly influenced by them. How do they protect themselves again, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Like you said, we're all humans, right?
Yeah.
And whatever is being portrayed, it's being portrayed because it's not necessarily real. That's why it's an effort going to portray it. So what we, when you talk about media literacy, and I say this specifically for younger people, to be able to, when you see something on any social media or any, even any print or any other form of media, make a conscious effort to try and figure out what could be the purpose or the message behind this media that has been shared, making an actual effort to educate ourselves in terms of how can this influence. So you said not to get influenced badly, not to get influenced goodly, if that's a word. I mean, the point is, not to get influenced or not is our choice.
Yeah.
It depends on what we're looking for when we see that message, and we understand what is the purpose, who is the person who's creating that media, who is the target audience. So when you have someone who's advertising a particular product, why is that person being chosen for that particular product? So if we start educating specifically the young generation to be able to understand what was the message, that is the crux of media literacy, and that's how you start building a society that knows how to protect themselves, so to say, and choose when to get influenced or not. You can get influenced, like I said, use the media around us to for a cause. Use it to seek inspiration. Use it to learn. I mean, that's a lot that can be done positively also. And the only thing is, we shouldn't let social media become our lived reality. I think that's something that's important.
So, yeah, people who have an understanding and a certain living experience, certain age, will understand this more than what about the kids who are there on social media, the teens who are there on social media. How do we protect them? Because then they become the most vulnerable, and we are seeing a lot of these quote-unquote teen influencers who are choosing to end their lives. How do we protect them? I think it's Philippines. So I don't know. I don't remember which country. I think all the countries should ban that.
I'm not going to comment on policies, and I don't know how much prohibition of anything actually works in this world. But again, I would say, as of date, it is not the most realistic expectation to deprive anyone of social media, because it's a reality. It is here. But more importantly, as much as we can, again, like I said, be mindful. And it is up to us as adults, as parents, as teachers, as stakeholders, to educate the children, the youth, about, again, that's the concept of media literacy.
Mm.
What is this message? Who created it? Why was it created? What is the target audience? And what is the purpose? What are they deriving from this post? So every like, what is being achieved by every like and every view that we are giving that post? That is something that if children are taught and educated, even in schools, it'll go a long way to realize this is not the real world. That is, it is almost a profession for so many individuals to decide what goes online. And the minute even the young generation realizes that, they become media literate. They become more sensitive to not believing exactly what they see. They learn to use their own minds and their own intelligence to be able to discern what to get influenced by and what not to. It will still, I mean, the line will still be blurred. But again, at the same time, also encourage them to actually have real activities in the real world to stay engaged, not to spend all their free time on the phones or the tablets or on social media platforms. You know, also help them realize, and even for us as adults, not to neglect our roles and responsibilities in the real world only because of the activities that we are pursuing on social media. Like I said, go on that vacation not to come back and post pictures. Go because you want to go and enjoy that vacation. Go for a meal without checking in to the restaurant that you ate at. It's okay. You went, you know, it's a real experience you've come back with. So if we as role models set examples for the youngsters, that's one. Educating them is second. And third, be there for them. Be their support systems. Be able to create that space and environment where they feel comfortable, that if they see something which they're not able to understand or is something that is bothering them or affecting them, they feel free to reach out to us to talk about it. Because we can't control what they see.
Mm-hmm.
But we can be there for them to, again, help them navigate social media in a healthy, positive manner.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, be able to discern and be able to go through the real experience of life rather than focusing on what I'm going to post on my social media and see how many people are engaging with my post. And lastly, Roshni, what are the symptoms that we need to be very, very careful of when we are, feeling left out, or when we have compared ourselves to that celeb or influencer, or we have got influenced by a certain influencer? When is the time to feel that, okay, I need to take a help from a mental health professional?
So clinically, if you're talking about the signs and symptoms, anytime when you're having the signs of feeling helplessness, hopelessness, worthlessness, when you are experiencing sadness of mood, when you're experiencing any emotional turmoils that are again persisting beyond a period of 2 weeks, where you find yourself constantly comparing yourselves to others, constantly feeling a reduction in your self-esteem, your sleep pattern could be impacted, your appetite could be impacted, your energy levels could be impacted. You might be feeling a sense of social withdrawal or social isolation, alienation, a sense of loneliness. Any of these signs, and specifically again clinically, if they start persisting beyond a period of 2 weeks, is when it is definitely time to clinically reach out to a mental health professional. Even before that, anytime that you feel you are struggling, anytime that you feel you don't have the social support system around you, even then you can always feel free to reach out. We have helplines. So even when you're talking about, like I said, suicides, if you're talking about this topic, suicides can be prevented. There are helplines available. You have, the government has helplines, for example. You have Telemanus. Fortis also has a 7 helpline. There are lots of helplines available. But again, helplines are crisis interventions. So that's not the only solution. Yes, they help. But again, like I talked about, us shifting the focus to preventing suicides, to be able to be on the lookout, psychological first aid, be on the lookout for those signs and symptoms, to be able to look, listen and link, be there for each other, be there to give that support to each other. I think that in itself can go a long, long way.
That's lovely. And we have, we always put all the descriptions of helpline numbers. So do reach out. As Roshni mentioned, you need to take care of yourself first. Be aware of the signs. And there is no shame in putting yourself out there and reaching out and revealing yourself and being vulnerable. So thank you so much, Roshni. I so appreciate your time. And this was such a lovely chat. And I hope our listeners got a lot out of it.
As I always constantly remind myself and also people around me that mindfully use social media and understand that what we see is a part of the lives of celebs and not their only lives. It is curated. It's the same way with the influencers. There's a lot of clutter out there. And if we do not know how to remove that clutter from our life daily, we are going to get embroiled into it. Focus on your life. Find your meaning yourself and not by getting influenced by a certain influencer. Yes, they can sculpt your path. They can add value in a certain way. But at the end of the day, it is you and you only that decide how you want to live your life and how you want to experience this beautiful journey called life. Think about that.